Jeff. Eric. Jeff. Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Another great week for It's the Real.
How do we do it?
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Another great week for It's the Real.
How do we do it?
We're not gonna tell the people how we do. We're not gonna tell the people how we do. We're not gonna tell the people how we do. How we do. How we do.
What's that?
Fullscreen.com.
What's that?
A waste of time if it's the real.
What's that?
Fullscreen.com.
What's that?
A waste of time if it's the real.
What's that?
Fullscreen.com. Fullscreen.com. Fullscreen.com/it's the real.
Sign up. A waste of time. A waste of time. A waste of time. We're gonna celebrate. Oh yeah, alright. Don't stop the dancing. A waste of time. We're gonna celebrate. Oh yeah, alright. Don't stop the dancing. A waste of time. A waste of time. Do it right. You can do it, baby. Do it tonight. Do it tonight. Do it tonight. Do it tonight. Do it tonight.
Do it tonight. I don't need Don Perignon. I don't need Chris. Tangerine, Alize, I don't need shit, nigga. I'm
a waste of time.
I smoke that good shit. I stay
a waste of time.
And I'm on some bullshit. Give me some gold, purple haze, and some chocolate. Give me a Dutch and a letter. I spout shit and say
a waste of time.
I smoke that good shit. I'm
a waste of time.
And I'm on some bullshit.
Hang up the phone to let me know you made it home. Don't want nothing to be wrong with
a waste of
time, lover.
A waste of time. What's that?
That's the show.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm like,
don't be mad, nigga.
A waste of time.
Let's go, let's go. Cooking dope.
A waste of time.
Tell him white, tell him me.
A waste of time.
Fucking two bad bitches.
A waste of time. A waste of time. A waste of time. A waste of time. A waste of time.
A waste of time.
A waste of time. A waste of time.
Nah, for real, for real.
Nah, for real.
Get down.
You are now listening to.
Get down.
Nah, for real, for real.
Get down.
And that would be.
Get down.
The Neptune.
Get down.
And the new label.
What's that?
A waste of time with It's the Real. Nah, for real, for real.
It's on the rise. Fuck them other guys. I even gave them a chance to decide. Now it's something they know. They know. Yeah, I be yelling out. Money over everything. Money on my mind. Then she wanna ask when it got so empty. Tell her I apologize.
A waste of
time. She says they missed the whole Drake. Girl, don't tempt me if
I'm like, I'm like, I'm like, a waste of time. What's that?
That's the show.
Turn up. Turn up. Turn up.
On this week's episode of
A Waste of Time,
we have
Naomi Zeichner,
the editor-in-chief of Fader. And she talks about growing up in Georgia. She talks about Bubba Sparks. She talks about going to school in Portland. She talks about working in coffee shops here in New York City. Let's get into this episode. When do you think?
Right now.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Gun Talk, a.k.a. Glockenspiel.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Still Getting Cake, a.k.a. Dylon, 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 Dylon.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Yo, what's up? It's Naomi, a.k.a. Little info.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah. This is a waste of time, but this is the real. Naomi, welcome to our Upper West Side apartment.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Before we get started, we should mention that this is being taped for fullscreen.com.
Yes.
The greatest part of that is
that if you listen to us on fullscreen.com/itsthereal, you can actually watch our episodes a week earlier than anywhere else.
Yeah, not only listen, you can watch on fullscreen.com.
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, well, you could, oh, right, you could play and then just listen to it in the background.
Yeah.
But whatever it is, you get it a week early. That's Misinfo, Angie,
Charlemagne the God,
DJ Drama. Yeah. A whole bunch of people have been on here. Now, Naomi Zeichner, the editor in chief of Fader, is here with us. Welcome.
Yeah.
Hey.
So, you know what's interesting? There's a lot of interesting things, but the latest bit of news that I saw about you was our mutual friend Phil Chang did this thing for Bond Street, which is a small business lender, and he created this zine called For New York, and we were invited to be a part of it. Misinfo was on it. Angie is going to be on it. Fabulous. Patrick Ewing.
Yeah, a lot of people, like, you know, from around the city talking about small businesses.
Small business, independent businesses that they support. You were on there, and you went around Brooklyn and found your bagel spot, a grocery store. What was the third? Oh, a hardware store?
We went to the hardware store. I feel like Phil was like, I'm not sure. It was like a franchise, like a True Value. He was like, I don't know if this works. I was like, go with me, Phil.
Did you have any problems like letting the, like, getting pictures taken there or anything?
No, I actually thought it was really awkward for me, actually, to like go into these places that I go. Like, actually, recently we went to one like a Lebanese grocery store, and I was back there like the other day, and I was like, oh my god, this guy like knows. Yeah, like the girl who
he
came
thinks
in
that you're a star now
and took a picture. Yeah, yeah, like I like couldn't look him in the eye.
I think we might be the only ones that got kicked out of places.
The first place we went, a toy store that we go to. It's our go to toy store on the Upper West Side.
Yeah, for gifts for children.
We are
not
going to shout them out because they kicked us out because they were
crazy.
Like, we don't need you taking pictures.
And then we were like, all right, well, maybe we'll go to the place I get my hair cut at, which also they buy and sell gold on the side. And so we were not allowed to shoot there either.
Yeah, so the first two places that we wanted to go to support them, to promote their independent businesses, kicked us the hell out. So
I feel like we did go to a donut shop and they were like, no,
not
we're good. And I was like, I'm good too.
Have you been back there since?
No, just because it's down the street, but I love that donut shop.
Not anymore.
No, I'm good. We're good.
How long have you lived in New York City?
I've lived in New York City since 2009, so I guess like 7 years. And is that 7 years?
Yeah, how many different places have you lived?
Oh my God. 4 or 5.
Any like particularly good or bad ones?
The first one was really bad. I came to New York like the day I graduated college or whatever, like right away. And so I was just living in my brother's apartment because he was in Brazil. And so I was like hanging out with his roommate all the time, who I actually saw the other day for the first time in many years. And I was
like,
what's
up? He works at the Lebanese hardware store.
No, he's a professor. He's cool. But I was like sleeping on a futon that was like a couch.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't folded
couches
down.
Yeah.
You couldn't stay in your brother's place?
No, like, I was staying in his room, but something was messed up with the futon, and I, like, didn't fix it. I, like, it was bad. I was working at a coffee shop, like, really early in the morning. I feel like I was sleeping only in the afternoon.
Really?
Or something. Like, I was, like, raging all night, like, going straight to work, and then...
I mean, we've met you, like, Naomi. You're crazy.
It was 7 years ago. I was much younger then. So that was, like, a really weird summer. And then me and my brother moved into another nicer place in Bed-Stuy, which I remember actually, like, I remember when we moved in thinking, like, oh, my God, I'm, like, moving on up. This is, like, the nicest place I've ever lived. And it was, like, a really nice block. But then like, for the whole winter, that winter, like, no one would come to my house. People were like, I have to ride the bus to get to your house. So it was, like, pretty far from the G and pretty far from the A as well. And but now, like, it's just crazy to me to see how... But like everybody lives in Bed-Stuy now. Like all those people who like wouldn't come to my house are all like come to the bar in Bed-Stuy. I'm like, no.
Someone told me the other night at our friend's birthday party that the Upper East Side is cheaper in terms of rent than a lot of places in Brooklyn now.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Which is wild. That's just
wild.
Like,
my boyfriend tells me that too.
But just repeatedly, he's like, hey, let's move to the Upper East Side.
I'm like,
that really
no.
is moving on up, by the way. Moving on up to the East Side.
Yeah, but the Upper East Side stinks.
It does stink, but it could be the new Bushwick.
Yeah, Park Avenue is the new Bushwick.
You're from originally from Athens, Georgia, right?
Yes.
Born there.
Yes.
You are the, what, you have an older brother?
Yeah, I have an older brother and a younger brother, so I'm in the middle.
Oh, you're the middle child.
Yeah.
Do you have middle child syndrome?
What does that mean to you?
You know, like, is acting that
when, out. Yeah, you need, like, lots of attention.
Yeah. Or...
I feel like something, I'm in my family, I'm always like, nobody listens to me.
Yeah, that's
But
that's
they don't.
Wow, you're so Jan.
Yeah.
Is your younger brother, like, doted upon?
He's, like, the sweetest of us all, so yes, but deservedly so.
Deservedly so.
So sort of like Bobby. I'm just going to keep making Brady Bunch references.
That's right. Yeah. And your older brother, how much older is he than you?
I think it's like 2.5 or 3 years. He is 1984 and I'm 1987. I don't know how old he is now. But he got married last weekend.
Oh, congratulations.
Or actually, no, he's been married, but he had a wedding.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's kind of complicated, okay. But it's not that complicated.
Does that mean you celebrated less?
No, at the actual wedding? It was lit. We had a good time.
DJ or band?
DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, DJ.
That's
fun.
Cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Okay, so you're from Athens, Georgia. Athens has this reputation for being, like, really liberal and, like, is it fair to say hippie-ish?
I wouldn't call it actually super hippie-ish. Like, I guess there are some, in Georgia they would be considered hippies, but I don't think there's not, it doesn't feel like Berkeley.
Yeah.
or
like Austin in Texas. Like,
yeah. Like, I would more like,
what,
Austin
like
in Texas.
The blueberry and like the tomato soup.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they call it. Yeah.
I think that might be
yes.
What they call it. Yeah.
It is. I mean, it's, so Athens is like in the smallest county in Georgia. Basically, like the city is the county.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, yeah, so it's the smallest and most liberal county in Georgia, basically. I mean, outside
far
of the
from
Atlanta metro
Atlanta
area.
Is it?
So it's like 45 miles, which used to be like 45 minutes, but it's now like an hour and a half.
Oh, what whoa. Happened?
There's lots of cars. Oh, there's yeah. lots of people. I don't. Yeah, I mean, I think it depends. Also, like where you're going in Atlanta. Atlanta is quite a big place.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to the 1996 Olympics.
Well, yeah. So. did you go to the 1996 Olympics?
Oh my God, no! I was at camp.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we went to the Paralympics as a family, which okay. I remember being like, that is not. It's not like I remember being kind of, but then actually when we were there being like so proud. And so but at camp, we watched some of it on the big screen and it was like such a huge thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely have like I'm really into all the merch and I feel like I wish I was like, oh, here's my huge collection of Atlanta 96 merch. Like I'm sure like Rembrandt has like
yeah,
an actual,
yeah,
like,
say,
like
yeah,
he like does have a huge collection.
Yeah.
But I have like some stuff with that, the Izzy character, which was like
oh
the weirdest
God.
Mascot
yeah.
of all time.
By the way, the Tokyo Olympics is going to be amazing for merch.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Is that like, what's next?
Yeah, that's the 2020 ones.
Oh, I wonder if they're going
to... The Prime Minister just popped out of a Super Mario, like, pipe.
Oh, my God.
That's cool.
I like, loved the Olympics growing up, and now I really think, like, they have to rethink the Olympics.
I agree. So,
it's really fucked up, I think.
But what do you mean rethink them?
They should, like, make permanent
Include
stadiums
less countries?
Or
oh.
something.
Yeah.
Like, it shouldn't be such a burden.
Like, just...
Financial,
I don't believe
yeah.
in it.
Just the other day, I was watching a Real Sports, like, hour-long thing on how bad the Olympics are, right? It's just like...
You mean for the hosting cities?
For everyone.
For everyone?
The, yeah, for the athletes, it's terrible.
America just won 2/3 of the medals.
No.
America's doing great.
Right,
shouts
sure.
to all of us.
Except for anybody who's, you know, infected by Zika or...
That's not the Olympics' fault.
Yes, it is. Yes. No, and one of the things was, let's say not the professional basketball players who go down there, people who sail or mm-hmm. people who are doing, like, diving, right?
Right, and they're just, like, swimming through polluted waters.
Well, yeah. This is their primary income.
Yeah.
And it's not that much. And they train for, let's say, 4 years or longer to get to this one thing. And the Olympics are forcing you to go do your craft in a place where there's crazy diseases. And
that's the same thing as like being a philosophy major.
Go on.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, why? What's the point?
Okay, so Athens, Georgia. What did your parents do down there?
So my family was down there because my dad was a professor. So he got a job at the university down there.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a psychology professor,
mm-hmm.
and my mom is like a landscape architect by trade, but
oh, cool.
kind of like doesn't do that now. Now she's just like a hustler. She actually like works at Jewish camp, and she's a potter. And some other stuff.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Your mom sounds dope.
This does sound like Berkeley.
Yeah, no. I don't know.
Was she a philosophy major?
No. So, yeah, but they, my dad's from Israel, and my mom had, like, my mom lived in Israel, and that's where they met, and then they lived in Canada. I guess my dad was going to school and they lived in Canada and then they moved to Athens. But the family legend is like, we could have moved to Chicago. We could have moved to New Orleans, but like, we just did Athens. And now they love it. Like, I feel like my parents would be so, I would love if my parents moved somewhere else, mm-hmm, like to Miami or something.
Sure, yeah.
Would be chill. Or whatever. But they are there. They like it there. And I do like it there. It's a very cool place.
How often do you make it back?
No, not very often. I kind of like, maybe once a year. I've been going for Passover.
Yeah.
Is like a nice time to go.
Do you have hometown pride?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I think like maybe even, I feel like when I moved to Portland for college, I was like, I actually had like crazy hometown pride. I was like, all of you guys are stupid. And, like, the way I was raised is so right. I mean, I think it was a very cool place to grow up. Like, mm-hmm, it was just like a very safe space to wild out in like a lot of different ways. Like I had friends who had like forests in their yard and cows and shit. Like, you could like wild out in that way. Or you could like go to a show like in like a totally, I don't know, like,
yeah, who played in Athens?
I feel like who were the big bands when I mean, it was kind of like the second wave of the whole Elephant Six thing. So like not Neutral Milk Hotel and Olivia Tremor Control, but like Elf Power, and I don't know. But there was also like, I was pretty heavily involved in kind of this like folk punk scene. That was just like a bunch of little bands that you'd never heard of.
But by the way, Eric has never heard of any of the bands that you named, I imagine.
No, yeah, I mean, like, and why, yeah, but like, why would you have?
Yeah. I only knew Neutral Milk Hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do not. Yeah. But
Athens is famous for like REM, B-52s.
And most importantly,
Bubba Sparxxx.
Yes.
Now, did Bubba Sparxxx hit at the right time where you were just like, Athens, Georgia, like, this is one of our own.
Naomi was like, yes, all about hip hop.
Yes. But I mean, for like lots of reasons, I feel like, you know, like Uncle Cracker had a really big single, like, you know, obviously was like very raised on like Missy. And so like all of those sounds were very relevant. But I have a couple of Bubba Sparxxx stories. Yeah. One is that at Hebrew school, which was like walking distance from the public library in town, there was like a rumor that there was a white guy giving out tapes at the library. And everybody was like, who's doing this? And like, I'm pretty sure it was Bubba Sparxxx. I don't want to be like, I know Bubba, because I definitely, I was not there. I did not receive a tape from Bubba Sparxxx at the public library after Hebrew school, but somebody did.
Your brother.
Yeah. And my other, like, there's a late, well, I don't even know if you call this late period Bubba Sparxxx, but when he was sort of involved in the Purple Ribbon stuff, which was like when I was at college, he had a song on one of those big boy tapes called Pocket Full of Mid, which I like looked up today and like barely exists on the internet anymore. Yeah. But on that song, he's talking about selling weed at the Sitgo on Lumpkin, which is a specific gas station. It was one of my favorite gas stations in Athens, Georgia, that was right down the street from like my best friend growing up brother's house, where we like always used to hang out, you know, like her, the older brother, where you just hang out and smoke weed and sell weed. And I used to sell weed also at that same Sitgo on Lumpkin. And I remember like,
wait, were you like real territorial?
No, like, it wasn't like,
Bubba Sparxxx
wasn't like,
is telling your story.
It wasn't like my corner. It was just like literally like a place that I often was. So it was like, but I remember being at college hearing this in this period of extreme hometown pride and being in Portland, Oregon, where like nobody smoked mids, which was a big concern of mine when I moved to college. I was like, why don't people out here smoke mids? Like, why are you paying like top grade for this weed that's too good?
Yeah, no, actually, was it no customers for you or everyone was a customer? Like,
no. I mean, at this point I didn't have any customers anymore. But, so just, I love mids and I love Bubba Sparxxx.
You know, when Bubba first came out and they put out his first song in the video, it was like
ugly.
Yeah, but it wasn't even my favorite Bubba Sparxxx. Like, clearly, like, I think the critical favorite is Deliverance, and that's just a great album. I mean, minus like a couple of different songs, but it's a fantastic album, and it's like everything that I think you hoped you would get from like that collaboration between him and Timbaland.
Mm-hmm.
But like the ugly and although maybe Ugly's like grown on me a little bit.
I like
bit.
Ugly a lot.
You liked it immediately?
I loved that song. Really? I bought Dark Days, whatever nights.
Yeah.
Hellish Nights or whatever.
Something.
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
I think Bright Days, Dark Nights? Or
something
Dark
like that. Whatever. I bought it. The fact is I bought it. Big Bubba Sparxxx fan. Wasn't a huge fan of Miss New Booty.
No, but that was later.
Yeah.
That was later. It felt to me like he was trying to play a character, and then the second album, Deliverance, like, felt more like,
yeah,
that's his real story. Like, it was just like, the sounds made sense, and like, did you know kids like him? Did you know those, like, really rural, like...
That's what I was gonna say, like, I don't know if it even ever felt like a character to me, because you kind of do know that person. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I didn't know any of them who could actually rap. So that's like, that were like, who knew any cool producers?
Did you go to public school or private school?
I went to public school, yeah.
And how big was your, like, graduating class?
It was, like, bigger than my college. It was, like, the Where'd school was college? 2,000 people... But the whole thing is that the graduating class is like 300 people because everybody drops out.
Oh.
I went to college at Reed College, which is like 1,200 people or something, which I
Steve
knew
because
I used to work in the mailroom.
Right?
Yeah, but he dropped out.
Yeah, that's the cool.
And I like hated it there. I hated it there at first. When I moved there, I was so miserable because I just wanted to be back with Bubba Sparks smoking weed at the library. But yeah, there was, I think like growing up, all the white kids were pretty into hip hop that I knew. But there was like a lot of, there's like a whole spectrum of rednecks, you know what I mean? That's what people don't really understand. It's like there's super racist rednecks and then there's super hypey rednecks.
Yeah, very cosmopolitan rednecks.
Yeah.
Did you ride in the back of any pickup trucks?
Sure. Oh. Yeah. I mean, not off, I don't know. Not
That's
a,
how Naomi
not
got
a,
over
not
here.
Not as a habit. I don't know. I mean, I think my closest friends in high school were like kind of like these like crust punk townies or like the kids who had also gone to Montessori you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
sure.
I was like at the end of the day mostly hanging out with like the freaky people.
Was there any thought that you would be going to college where your father worked?
Well, I mean, sort of. It's like in Georgia, there's this thing called the Hope Scholarship that if you get above an 85 average, you go to college for free. So obviously that's very enticing in Georgia.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I think then people who are excellent academically go to UGA, but there's also all these like middle Georgia and Georgia Southern and all these. Yeah. Whatever. But I think my parents actually were like very like, you need to get out of here.
Where'd your brother go to school?
He went to Brown.
Okay.
So, yeah, they were like, please. I mean, that was, and I think my parents even today are very kind of in some, I don't know if disappointed is the right word, but like, they would have liked me to go to graduate school. Like, that was the hope for us all.
I got that too. Like, my parents, I went to school and I was like, this is going, I'm so focused. I'm going to be a filmmaker. Like, my path is going to be a very straight one and I know my destiny and the whole thing. My parents were like, would you please just do a liberal arts like base and then go to graduate school and focus then. And I'm like, I don't have the time to do this. And like, I'm sure there was a period where like, you know, our parents were just like, what are you doing?
When did you start becoming interested in like writing? When did you want to become a writer?
Like after I got to New York, I think. I mean, I kind of like, I had this sort of difficult experience in college where basically I just like felt really stupid for 4 years, you know? And I think that like, to some extent, I don't know. I'm like, I didn't really, in high school, I was just kind of hanging out and I didn't have to do a lot of work and I kind of hated going to school and just.
Did you have higher than an 85?
Totally. Which wasn't, I mean, my school was not like, I mean, I guess I cared. I mean, I don't want to like sound like I was, you know, I definitely like put in work and like wanted to finish my stuff and cared. But I just kind of like didn't, I don't know. I wasn't like that pressed on getting grades to get into a better school, I guess I could say. Mm-hmm. So then when I got to college, I was like, oh shit. Everybody here is like really something. They were all just like, I don't know. I felt like very like unprepared. And I felt even though it was a very small school that nobody really like had my back or kind of understood my vibe.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up studying art. It's like a pretty small school. So I was kind of like, okay, this is like the only place I fit in this universe. And kind of like, you know, I did a big writing project at the end of school, but I was like teaching a lot around Portland, around the community. And so I was kind of like, this is like, I'm like a, you know, like I need to be out here with people. So it was only kind of after I got to New York and I worked in education for a while that I was like, I don't want to do this at all. Like, I mean, and now actually sometimes I'm like, I will end up doing, you know, education work or something like that. Or something that kind of combines a lot of these interests. But like, yeah, I think I started hanging out with the guy who's my boyfriend now who was writing, kind of like hanging out with his people. And I had always like, you know, I was a big blog reader.
Right.
And sort of like music fan and was kind of like, wait, I just sort of was like, what I actually want to be doing that would make me happier is this.
Well, when you went, how many schools did you visit when you were considering colleges?
Oh, like, I mean, I did, like, a whole, like, that whole drive with my mom. Mm-hmm. That was so terrible. But she was like, I am never talking to you again. You are the worst kid. But I didn't get into a lot of schools. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. Like, in Georgia, another thing is that you can graduate, you can go to college while you're in high school if you have, like, a certain amount of credits or something. So, basically, my senior year of high school, I was, like, taking a couple classes at UGA, and then I just graduated early. Because, like, again, like, so many people don't graduate that, like, it's pretty easy. I had the credits I needed. So, then I was on this, like, road trip with this guy I was dating, and he was, like, older, and he was just like, fuck college. And I was like, fuck college. Yeah. And so I really just, like, wasn't even paying attention.
Was that Steve Jobs?
And then I got back from this road trip, and I was like, fuck, like, what am I going to do? And I got into a college in Canada. I got into Hampshire College on a scholarship that was only for black women. And I was like, I had to call them and be like, guys, I'm not black.
Wait, whoa. How did that happen?
I would really like to know. I think for that application, you had to write, like, if you, like, could add a class to the curriculum, what would it be? And I feel like maybe my answer to that was, like, super black. Like, seems possible in their eyes. I don't know. But I remember that was, like, really confusing. And I was like, maybe I should go to this place for free. It's a free school. And then I was like, this is terrible. I went to Reed just because I got in and I thought Portland was, like, a cool place.
And you did visit Reed.
Yes. One of my brother's friends from college was, like, there for a semester or something. So I, like, went and kicked it with her for a weekend.
Did you travel on your own when you were growing up? Like, our cousins, like, I remember, like, it was just the craziest idea to me that when they were, like, 11, 12, that our aunt and uncle would drop them off at the airport and be like, okay, you know,
that's
good
insane.
Luck. Yeah, it just, it didn't make sense to me. And they have their, like, eccentricities or whatever. But that's, I feel like, for someone just to go clear across the country is pretty brave. Like, did you, and if you feel lonely out there or like that no one gets you, like that makes so much sense. Like, I would be like, I only went, you know, 5 hours north or 4.5 hours north to Syracuse, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think I was, like I said, my parents were like pretty dead set on this idea that like college is the time to start your life independently of us. And I felt the same way. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think, outside of this crazy road trip that I took when I was like 17 or 18 or whatever I was, I did actually, me and my brother went to Europe one time when I think I was only 14, and I don't know how that they let us do this.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was a crazy trip.
Your older brother.
He was like of a decent age and I think had already been, he's like an academic who studies Latin America. So he had like spent a lot of time traveling.
Yeah, but this is Europe.
I know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. So I guess they just trusted us, but we were like, I don't know. It was cool.
Did Reed College have a sports team?
No, but you have to take PE.
Really?
Or I guess they do. There's like lacrosse. I guess they have. I do not know.
That
but you have
like a nightmare.
You have to take PE. And so my first semester there, I was like, I'm going to do independent swimming because that's like the most like GPE class you can do.
Independent swimming?
Yeah, because it was like, no one will know that I don't actually do it or whatever. And then I like, there was this test.
Oh, wait, it's like they trust you to go swimming. Like you go,
that's
like,
you're
thing. Like, I swam in a lake,
but
and then like you fill out a form that says I swam in a lake.
I had to do a swim test and I like failed the swim test so intensely. It was like so hard. So then I like
By the way,
didn't.
You know how you fail a swim test? You drown.
No, I didn't drown, but I like could not keep going for an hour or whatever the hell they wanted you to do. I remember afterwards I was like, anyway.
They're training you to be a lifeguard. Like,
yeah.
You
are you sure this was at
your
college?
Like, we will only trust you to swim if you like can really swim. Which I get. And so, and then I was just like, shit. And I kind of like avoided PE for a while. And then I was like, wait, I'm not going to graduate if I don't like start taking PE every quarter now. So, which was actually really good. I think it was like a huge positive change in my life. And I like started
doing. That was the turnaround.
It kind of was, honestly. Like, I got into yoga, like had this amazing aerobics teacher whose name I can't remember now, who like literally changed my life. So yeah, it was actually really like.
You don't remember
good.
The woman's name who changed your life?
I think she was Nancy. Just trying to not get it wrong. She was so cool.
Do you still do yoga today?
No.
So she changed your life for a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I do spinning.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I do now.
That's cool.
It's actually the opposite of cool.
Wait,
but I enjoy it.
Do you like? I'm sure that
I wish they played like the punk folk, you know, music while you while you spin now.
Oh, yeah. That would be literally terrible. That would be no. I go only to this one spin teacher because she plays rap music.
Yeah.
And I feel like there must be.
But what kind of rap? Like, is she playing Flo Rida?
No, she's pretty good. She plays like Future.
Oh, cool. Okay, so she's like down.
Yeah, she's awesome, Tay. Yeah. Okay. She's really cool. But
remember her name.
I feel like there's gotta be like other people in New York City who play Kodak Black while exercise is happening, mm-hmm. and like I would like to meet them as well.
So if anybody knows, please contact us at It's the Real.
Yeah.
At Nomi Zeichner. Why is it Nomi and not Naomi? Is there another Naomi Zeichner?
I don't know. I mean, growing up like in Hebrew or something, you would just say Nomi.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. So
yeah, it's like so
everybody just call me
Jewish,
Nomi.
Yeah.
So it's just Nomi.
Gotcha.
But like, I'm not somebody who gets tight about how people pronounce my name. Like, you could say my name however, and I would not care.
Is Naomi Zeichner close?
Yeah, it's fine.
How would you theoretically pronounce it if you were exactly right?
I don't know. That's everything is good, but yeah.
Sharon.
Yeah. I believe it's Sharon.
Whatever. But yeah.
Wait, what shows did you see when you were in Athens and Atlanta? Like, when you were in Georgia, like, growing up, like, did you see any rap shows?
I don't know. There was, like, some local rappers. This guy called Issue, I think.
Issue.
That I feel like I was, like, supportive of. No, I didn't go to, I mean, that's, I didn't go to Atlanta that much, actually, growing up. To this, like, that kind of blows
far.
My mind
yeah.
now. But it's weird, sort of. I mean, we would go for, like,
Freaknik. Oh, yeah, yeah, theater.
Like, go to museums and stuff. Like, I don't, but it's actually, it's not that far. Like, to me, that's kind of weird that as a high schooler, I didn't do more of that.
Yeah, where were your class trips to?
To, God, I don't know. The Coca-Cola Museum
yeah,
or whatever. Yeah. We didn't go on a lot of, I'm like, why did we go on more class trips? There was an aquarium in Tennessee that's like, that was the big.
That was closer?
Well, what's Chattanooga is like just across the board. It's like basically north
yeah.
Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's an aquarium in Atlanta, which is better than the Tennessee Aquarium.
That's what we heard from our friend Marsha, actually. She told us about that she meant to take her son to that and she missed out by
such
not
Georgia
doing
pride.
Well, before you left for college, do you feel like you had like a real Southern accent?
No. And I think everybody, because like my mom's from New York and my dad's from Israel. My mm-hmm. dad has like the craziest accent because he like grew up in Israel, but like before it was a state with like a Swiss nanny,
whoa.
German parents. And so like he talks, but he like tries to talk in a Southern accent. So he just sounds crazy.
The worst accent I ever heard, by the way, was a girl on my freshman year floor who had a South African meets Long Island accent. It was the worst combination. It's like eating mayonnaise and like, you know, horseshit.
How about your roommate senior year?
Oh yeah. So this girl, she was like yelling at this cat. She was like, "Where are you going?" And I was like, "Oh, this girl. Like, I've never met her. I'm living with her. She's like, I guess she's from another country." So I go and I ask her. I say, "Where are you from?" And she goes, "Utah."
Utah.
Utah.
And they had a cat that lived in their, like, fire trap of a home.
Mufasa, where are you going?
And you called it?
Cat.
Yeah, cat.
Yeah.
It was called Mufasa?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I think if I'm in Georgia and I've, like, been out for the night, I can definitely do a good Southern accent.
But was y'all, like, a part of your everyday vernacular?
Oh, totally. I mean, I wish I could actually remember, like, I feel like there was, like, a pretty active slang life that was, like, definitely, like, a trickle-down. I mean, something that's so interesting to me going back to Georgia now and, like, maybe one of the reasons that it doesn't... I don't know. Like, everybody in Athens has iPhones now. I mean, like, obviously, why wouldn't they? But I feel like there was this time where Athens, like, was so...
Disconnected?
So disconnected. I remember, like, visiting our family friends when I was a kid and they had Pogs. And then, like, literally, like, a year later, like, Pogs showed up on the playground in Athens. And just being, like, you know, like, it felt very behind. I feel like we used to say, like... Yeah, so I don't know where the hell we were getting slang from, but it was like definitely old slang.
So we didn't go to sleepaway camp or anything. We went to a day camp, so we were still like in the area. Our bubble was sort of like, you know, limited, right? And I remember I was around 13 years old or 14 actually. I guess I was just starting to work at camp too. Same camp, Purchase Day Camp. We went there and then worked there and it was just the greatest. Like, we made our best friends from there and everything. But I remember this one kid, Joe, said he used the term herb, and I was like, oh my god, he invented it, and it is the greatest thing ever. I was like, Joe is so cool. Meanwhile, like, I'm
Joe's
sure
a herb.
Yeah, Joe really is a herb.
That's so funny.
But, like, you know, at that age, you just think that, like, you know, it was invented here, and it was living here, and
it is, like, crazy how words get invented, though.
Sure.
Sorry, I know I sound like I'm, like, smoking mid, but
You went to sleepaway camp, or?
Yeah, I went to the sleepaway camp that now my mom works at. I was never like a counselor there or anything. Mm-hmm. I wasn't into camp really. It was okay. I don't know. I wasn't that into it. But my parents, like, a big mantra, like, we did have a temple in our town, but it was like, I think there was one other Jewish kid at my high school besides me and my brother.
One other Jewish kid at your high school?
Yeah. So it was, like, and our temple in our town was for like the whole region. Isaac Piha.
Wow. Oh my God. That's so very Jewish.
Yeah. So it was very important for them. They were like, that we were raised Jewish and that we have a Jewish life. So, right. Like, I think I was like 6 when they sent me to camp. It was the summer Jerry Garcia died, I remember. Like, big deal at camp. and big deal for me. I mean, like, you know.
Were you a big Deadhead at age 6?
I definitely was like, I mean, that summer I was with the cause.
So much ass.
Once he died, Naomi didn't know who to follow.
Yeah. No, but I actually do think I was exposed to, like, you know, there was a lot of bad music at camp, I would say, like a lot of super bad music, like a lot of Dave and Fish, which I was like,
they're not dead.
Yeah. Definitely still happening at Jewish camps all over the country. But I feel like, you know, like I have like a burned Buju Banton CD that I got from who knows who.
Hold on, what?
At camp that like was really, that I, you know, like I think about
how old were you when you had a Buju Banton CD?
I don't know, probably like 8, 9 or something like that. And that was like, those, like, I think back now and I'm like, oh, that's like a significant part of the landscape or something. Like, I don't know, like. So, yeah, there was cool shit happening.
I mean, it definitely
camp.
Shaped your virulent homophobic views.
Wait, so where do you fall with Modest Yahoo then?
I'm not.
Oh,
into that.
Wow.
I don't have any negative feelings, though. Like, I think about, like, the joy that somebody like my father, like, I don't know if my dad knows who Modest Yahoo is, but if he did, I know he would like it. And, like, that makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
Our cousin's grandmother. Her great-grandmother, who's like 100 years old, mm-hmm. maybe even more than that.
No, she just turned 100.
She went to Modest Yahoo's concert was front row.
But
and,
like all those people like, you know, celebrated her and like, you know, like she was a mascot.
That's cool.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if Modest Yahoo's doing that, good for him.
Yeah, but good for all of that.
I watched like a whole Modest Yahoo viral video the other day and I was like, what am I doing with my life right now? I was like, whoa. It was like the computer and step away moment.
Yeah, it's the one where some guy is, like, in Hawaii, and he's playing the guitar, right? And he's singing a Modest Yahoo song, and Modest Yahoo is there singing along with him and goes, hey, like, I'm Modest Yahoo. And the guy's like, oh, I can't believe it. And I'm like, this is this is a false flag operation. This is bullshit.
Yeah, I can't believe we're talking about it right now. Like, like, stressing me out.
Naomi came here, and she was like, I want to talk about Modest Yahoo. videos and whether or not they're real. I think it's fake.
Again, send all Modest Yahoo videos to at Naomi Zeichner.
Yeah. What's the worst concert you've been to?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I feel like we've been to a lot of concerts together. A lot of them were like in the, like, you know.
They were all good.
They're all amazing.
Yeah.
When I went to college, this is like, not to date myself too much, but when
Jerry Garcia died.
No, but like when Peter Guns was really famous, like not like Love and Hip Hop famous.
Was Peter Guns ever famous?
I mean, for one song.
Couldn't just go down the street without people screaming, Peter Guns.
No, Lord Tariq and Peter Guns, when that song hit Uptown. Whatever.
Yeah, Deja Vu.
Yeah, Deja Vu. When that hit, they came to campus, and I was like, I'm going to go see them. And it was terrible.
It was our cousin's great-grandmother.
It was packed, and it was just the worst concert ever.
I saw Krayshawn twice.
Well, what about Ying Yang?
Oh, Ying Yang Twins was sad.
That was bad?
Yeah, I saw them. They played Santos at like 6 o'clock on a Friday night.
It's weird.
And,
yeah, like 2 years ago.
6 years after they were big.
And there were, it was the saddest collection of girls like twerking on stage. And it was, also, there were maybe like 10 people in the crowd.
Did they get mad that French Montana stole half from them?
Yeah, there was a long, you know, dialogue about how French had broken their trust or something.
Yeah, well.
I feel like that Ying Yang song with Wyclef is like a song that I think about all the time.
I think that Wyclef is like riding a wave again.
Well, I feel like I tweeted it to you about this. Yeah. I think the other day. Yeah, I'm like, I think that the Wyclef, like, it's never been gone or something.
Wow.
I don't know. I mean,
that's a brave take.
I have a, I don't have any interest in kind of like, I feel like after the Haiti earthquake or whatever, mm-hmm. and
when
his
he was riding
shit,
the motorcycle?
Like I actually like have. No, I have a lot of like conflicted feelings about supporting him or something. But
right,
I think,
Wyclef is your Olympics.
Yeah, something like that. But I think the carnival is like the foundation of everything right now, or kind of has been
yeah.
since it came out in so many ways.
Yeah,
or just a really good album. Like maybe it's just a really good album.
But the
it is a really good.
It's
album.
A really good album. Yeah. And then the second one,
the one with the rock,
the one with the rock on it. Like I was listening to a lot of Wyclef last week, and I was just like, oh, like he made some weird collaborations.
That was like the street single too, or maybe even the first single.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah. It like, doesn't matter.
Like, we're not even wrestling fans, and this is just like, we're like, oh, all right.
I was banging that, though. And then, like, that and Someone Please Call 911.
Yeah.
That has some good replay value. Because your tweet the other day was...
Yeah, my tweet made
somebody,
it famous.
No, but you were like, somebody passed me the aux cord, and I played...
That song was a big song.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And I feel like that, like, I don't even remember what year that was, but there was almost kind of
it was
like,
the year that Jerry Garcia died.
There was like, what, the Whitney My Love Is Your Love, like, which had like a reggae remix. And
yeah.
There was like, I mean, it was also like Sean Paul. I feel like there was a lot going on in pop music that feels relevant to what is going on in pop music right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
I love how you shunned Dave and Fish and were all about Whitney's like reggae remix and Wyclef. So when you're at camp, were you, so it's a Jewish camp?
Yeah, it was like a Reform Jewish camp.
We're Reform too, but yeah. like we're, I don't know who invented the term, but we are, as someone said, Jewish.
Oh,
right?
Someone from my middle school invented
oh,
it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was it Joe?
Yeah. He's a herb.
Yeah. But where are you still like, cause we feel like our values are Jewish. Like that's what's like. That's where we operate right
yeah.
now, right?
And your hair.
And my hair. And our noses, you know? Very Jewish. But beyond that, like, it's not like we go to temple regularly or celebrate, like, the random holidays, you know? But we still get stopped on the street by the guys who want us to shake the lulav.
Yeah.
I don't look those guys in the eye.
No.
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 But because there's two of us, we can split them.
Well, also, I mean, like, I look so Jewish. Like, some girl came up to me and she thought I looked like Jeff Goldblum.
My boyfriend, who's half Jewish, is always like, you don't look Jewish. And I'm like, what the fuck? First of all, what does that mean?
Right.
Yeah. And like, second of all, like, in what way do I not look
Jewish?
Yeah,
what a problematic statement.
I think so, but let's, I mean, like.
Well, listen, if you lived, honestly, if you lived in the Upper East Side,
yeah.
you would be
they
way
would
more
know.
Jewish.
Yeah. No,
are you
he
kidding,
just,
Brooklyn?
I feel like he met like no Jews in his, he's from like rural Vermont, so like, he doesn't know what he's talking about. About anything. No.
Yeah, you, however, you came from the town with one Jew.
That's really amazing, though, that there was, like, one Jew in your high school, really, beyond
well,
you.
Well, most of the Jews went to the nicer high school across town.
Gotcha.
I mean, most of the Jews being, like, the other six or whatever. But
they
yeah, it was
more
a,
Jewish.
It was a small community. I mean, I think that's why my parents thought it was so important for me to go to this camp where I met all these Jews from Florida
mm-hmm.
who were cool.
Okay.
Wait, were they, like, Miami Jews?
Yeah, it was, like, Miami.
So they were, like, gaudy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They were, I feel like they're, I learned so much. I feel like I really, like, learned, I don't know, like, yeah, I learned so much about just, like, being femme, I guess, from that experience.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm definitely not a practicing Jew. I, like, really, and I don't, you know, I think, like, I feel like a lot of these questions about like what Judaism is in my life will be answered or will be things that I think about more like if I have a family
sure,
or
right.
whatever. But no, like some of my friends, my very close friends in life who I've known for like 10 years were at this wedding for my brother.
Mm-hmm.
last weekend, and they were like, this is the most Jewish party I've ever been to in my life. I mean, I do think that, like, that my family unit is very strongly culturally Jewish, mm-hmm. and strongly, like, liberal and all these things. So it feels like I feel very much like I identify as having been raised in a culture, mm-hmm. and, you know, we, like, did Shabbat, and we did, you know, my mom is, like, an amazing Jewish cook, like, all these things that are nice about having a culture, and right. I think that, like, and mostly that, like, you know, in sort of my dad being, like, an immigrant or, like, an outsider culturally or something specifically, that, like, we really identified, like, me and my brothers, I think, just to some extent as, like, outsiders, like, mm-hmm. but, like, in a positive way,
right.
you know? And I feel very, like, lucky to have that kind of identity.
Or totally.
Any kind of identity, really. So
yeah. I mean, you're not Jewish enough to look Jewish, but you are Jewish enough to run media.
No, oh, my God. I mean, when I got this job, my boyfriend, I was like, yeah, aren't all your bosses Jewish? Like, do you just get the job because you're Jewish? When I, like, first got hired after I was an intern for a couple months. And I was like, I don't know, like, I'll take it.
So, okay, so Athens and then Portland, and then you move basically to New York City. How many times had you been to New York before then?
I had been, I mean, my grandparents live on Long Island, so I had been, I had been to New York.
Oh, you're
much.
Really Jewish. What are you talking
yeah.
about?
Yeah. So yeah, I had been. I had definitely, like, been to the city. I mean, I had always, like, I don't think I had, like, big, like, oh, I just, like, want to live on Broadway
right,
kind of dreams.
Right.
But
it wasn't, like, Empire State of Mind.
No. I didn't even, like, watch Sex and the City that much. I'm, like, trying to, I don't really know what I thought was here. I mean, I think that actually it was, like, that I went to college and, like, the recession was so dark. Like, my entire
the
time.
The Jeezy album?
Yes. The entire time I was in college, just, like, especially in Portland, which did not have, like, a super thriving creative economy at the time or something, I was just like, what am I going to do? So literally, it was just, I wasn't like, this amazing New York lifestyle that I'm going to have. I was just like, literally, like, this is a place where there are jobs. That was, like, the thinking.
So, number one, you didn't go to graduate school. And number two, you came to New York and didn't have any, like, specific job that you were going to take.
Right.
So you just started working at a coffee shop?
Yeah. So I got a job at a coffee shop that was owned by Israelis.
Okay.
That was my
there's two things that Jews have
first
run.
First day hustle.
Media and coffee shops.
That nepotism.
It was, like, Israelis who had met at Burning Man, they were crazy. So yeah, I mean, I had been working coffee in Portland, so I like.
Wait, are you serious? You met them at Burning Man?
No, they had met at Burning Man.
Oh, gotcha.
No, I have not been to Burning Man and have no desire to go. So I was just working coffee, but I had been doing, like I said, all this art education stuff. Like I had taught at a number of schools in Portland, so that was, like, the plan.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have, like, a, I don't know, I just didn't have, like, I didn't have, I, in college, I, like, worked during the summers, or, you know, I didn't, like, have internship, you know, I didn't, there wasn't,
right.
like, an immediate pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, yeah, through, like, a friend of a friend, heard about this job, so I started working at this nonprofit that was run by Yo-Yo Ma, and that was, like, my first, like, I don't even, it was, like, 6 months or something after I got to New York, I got that job.
It was run by Yo-Yo Ma?
Yeah, it was, like, Yo-Yo Ma has a big foundation called the Silk Road Project, which he, like, has,
oh.
like, a touring ensemble
yeah.
called the
yeah.
Silk Road Ensemble.
Yep.
So he had this, like, I think he still has, like, through Harvard, like, you know, like, a nonprofit and a center, and they wanted to do education stuff, so.
Did you meet him?
Yeah.
Was
he's
he,
cool.
Yeah?
He's cool.
That's good.
Yeah.
I don't want him to be, like, an asshole or something.
No.
Yo-Yo Ma is an asshole?
Yeah.
Please, that's Yitzhak Perlman.
Yeah.
No, I thought he was cool. I mean, it was, like, we had some weird days where, like, I was, like, you know, bringing him into these schools where I'd been working with kids and teachers, and he was, like, in Crown Heights, like, or whatever, like, and he, you know, it was, like, very wide-eyed. I mean, I feel like his sort of, like, he's a very creative, curious person, and I feel like that was true to form. I don't know.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you were there for 6 or 7 months, and then what comes next?
I was there for, like, a year plus. And then, but yeah, it was, like, it was a weird job. It was, like, a half-time job, and it was also, like, at elementary school hours. So it was, like.
So you had summers off.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, at summers, we were doing, like, planning and stuff, but yeah, it was just weird. Like, I would go to a school in Flushing at, like, I would leave my house at 4 a.m. and then, like, but, like, by noon I would be done. And so I was like, what am I doing? And I was, you know, so I was just, like, a little afloat and confused and listening to a lot of rap music, reading a lot about rap music. So I was like, I'm going to try to get an internship. And so Fader was like my favorite thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, let me try to get this internship. And then I did get that internship. And then when they offered me a job, whatever, I don't know how many months it was later, I was like, my dad was like, don't quit Yo-Yo Ma. He was like, and that was, I was like, I think I'm gonna, like, I think I should. Like,
middle child.
Yeah.
Yeah, acting out.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they were cool with it. Like, they were so like, whatever. But, you know, my parents are very, like, they value loyalty, some Jewish values there.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, what were you doing at that internship for Fader? Like, what did they have you do?
Mostly transcribing, which is, like, almost what, you know, what a lot of our interns do now. I mean, I did some, like, funny research projects. I interviewed Jasmine Sullivan on video one time, I remember, and then the video got messed up, so it doesn't exist. I was thinking about this last week when everybody was excited about Jasmine Sullivan for 10 minutes. I was like, remember that really bad interview I did with Jasmine Sullivan?
But did you...
Wait, did you destroy it on purpose because it was bad?
I didn't do anything, but I remember...
Are the lights getting really bright right now?
I remember at the moment being like... Is it not actually messed up and they're lying to me because I did a bad job, like being really paranoid about that.
Did you ever get coffee for anyone while you were interning?
No.
Because you had such great coffee experience.
Oh, true.
I know. I wish they knew. No, it wasn't like that at all.
Wait, did that make you more of a fan of coffee or less because you were around it all day for those however many months?
Have you ever had coffee?
Definitely less. I drink coffee every day, but yeah, no, I mean, coffee shops are gross. Like, and I worked at like a couple in New York like that year, and some of them were really pretty gnarly. I feel like a bagel shop is like the grossest thing.
Hopefully not the bagel shop that you mentioned.
At least
in
to
this.
Work at. No, that place is amazing. But like, yeah.
Wait, gnarly in what way?
I don't know. You're just...
Like a Sammy Hagar?
Yeah.
It's just like a lot of milk. Like, think about milk.
Oh.
That's really what you're trafficking in coffee. Like, that's actually... And that's really where all the money is in coffee shops. Like, the only... Like, coffee is whatever.
I want you to, like, speak directly to the camera.
The cups. The cups and the milk. And, yeah. I don't know.
Like, wait. That's where the money is.
Okay.
Coffee.
Then here... Yeah. Do you press your own coffee? You just don't, like, trust anyone else? Like,
No. I buy coffee at the coffee shop. But we did just buy a coffee grinder for our house.
Oh, nice.
So that the coffee could be fresher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not my business. That's
No. See, this is coffee shops, Olympics, and Wyclef, all just untrustworthy, like, operations.
And milk is disgusting.
Milk is good for you. My grandmother is dead, but she had a twin sister who is still alive and is, like, the most amazing person in my life, and I feel like she's a nutritionist was a nutritionist, like a doctor for a long time, and she thinks milk is really important, that you should
still
brave take
for adults as well.
Yeah, she's like she's like, ice cream is actually like the best dessert you can eat because you get some more milk. I don't know, I think bone density becomes a real issue.
Oh, sure.
Especially
for women.
Yeah, no, it's
I had a fall on a hoverboard the other day, and I credit my not breaking every bone in my body to the fact that I drink a lot of milk.
Wow. Well,
yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Well, and so that night, we went to our friend Shinsuke's birthday party, and while we got there, you were just like,
in the worst pain.
Something's wrong with my ankle and knee.
Yeah.
After that hoverboard injury.
Yeah. But then I went to sleep after icing my ankle.
Mm-hmm.
I should have iced both of them.
Yeah.
I was broken. And then I woke up and I was totally fine. I'm like Wolverine.
That's
if
crazy.
If Wolverine drank milk.
Yeah.
Maybe you were fine all along and you were just experiencing outsized pain.
Right?
Wow.
I think it's like a thing that men like experience more pain. I don't know.
Oh, here we go. Go on.
But I don't know. I do not know.
Conspiracy
Someone
theory.
Please
yeah.
call 911. Pick up the phone.
So you lived in New York for 7 years, you said?
Yeah.
Do you feel more... Would you call yourself a New Yorker now? Or are you really like...
Georgia Pride.
Yeah.
No,
Georgia
Peach. I think definitely. I don't have a life in Georgia. I haven't had a life in Georgia.
So you're a New
since
Yorker.
I was like 16. You know, like because even, yeah. So I mean, I don't know what I am. I think so. Like I don't know where I would.
Well, you
move.
Don't look Jewish.
You know, I think I'm like pretty committed to being here until there's like a really good reason not to. I mean, I'm not like I don't like LA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always say I would move to Toronto, which people think is really funny. But
wait, why would you move to Toronto?
I don't know. I feel like it's like pretty big. It's like nicer than Chicago or something. Or like, I don't know.
That's why your family could have moved to Chicago.
It's and like pretty Jewish.
I mean,
Drake, and other cultures as well.
Yeah.
Which I enjoy a mix of cultures.
Buju Bantan is big up there.
Yeah, huge. My mom knows who Drake is. Like a couple years ago, my mom was like, okay, but have you interviewed Drake? And I was like, no. Like, and she was like, well, what is your job?
Like, I mean, at this point, you've had Drake on the cover.
Yeah.
So that counts.
Yeah. I've never interviewed Drake, but I've met him.
Right.
A couple times. Yeah.
One time Drake was like trying to shake my hand and the lights in the club were like in my eyes. And so I didn't see him doing so. Very... So I like, he had his hand out for like an extended amount of time. And I just like was not.
Yeah, just
thinking about it at all. And then finally I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. So I sort of sunned Drake, but like not intentionally.
That's why Jeff can never go back to Toronto,
yeah.
By the way.
Yeah.
No, because if he does, Drake will be like, remember that time you like couldn't see me in the club? I felt so bad.
Yeah.
No.
Like the Jewish guilt I have is just like overwhelming. I'm so sorry.
So you go from interning to then you see that this is the path that you want to take. Did you want to be a writer? Did you want to be a blogger? Did you want to be an editor? Did you want to do anything specific? Or were you just like, I like working in magazines and that's cool?
Or did you want to go back to coffee because that was where the money is?
No, I was definitely really, I was super into magazines. I was super into like MTV News. You know, like I think if anything, like this was almost like, maybe there was like a kernel in my mind when I was a kid that I was like, I will also be Tabitha Soren when I grow up.
She's
and
the
like
best.
That I was just like gravitating somehow slowly towards like, something like that.
By the way, just real quick aside, we went to the little yachty like party on the frying pan, the boat,
yeah,
here in New York, and it was a different crowd than you normally see at all rap functions. And one of the people waiting online was John Norris from MTV News. And I was like, oh my God, like, where did you crawl out from?
He is out here. I feel
really?
Like I've had a lot of John Norris South by Southwest sightings. And every time been like texting someone like, oh my God, it's John Norris. And then I've been like, wait, like maybe I should like let this man live. Like,
you should fan out.
No.
Actually, I would fan out.
Like, not even fanning out, just like literally like, just like stalking vibes.
I'm not sure if I would
just
fan
reporting.
Out if just, I saw like Tabitha Soren or like Kurt Loder or somebody, but remember the guy, remember, no, I wouldn't fan out if I saw
him. Oh, yeah, I'm just saying like I
right, no, but if I saw,
although no, you want to know what, we got retweeted by Kurt Loder once and I was like, oh my God, we got retweeted by Kurt Loder.
All
so
right.
Maybe
I feel like
not.
That's pretty cool.
But yeah. If I saw what was that dude's name, Ian,
yeah,
do you remember he was like the punk like drummer dude?
Yeah.
No,
yeah, no, he was bald.
Oh,
head.
I'm sorry, did you not watch MTV?
You're like, it's Sway and everybody else.
Yeah. Ananda.
Ananda Lewis.
She was super cool.
Idallas.
Idallas, right. So, okay.
So I wanted to be
Such and Pac.
I wanted to be Such and Pac for my whole life. No. So, yeah. I mean, I think, and then, but I was, I mean, I knew I didn't know how to write, and I really didn't.
But
like,
you knew you didn't know how to write?
Yeah, I was, like, very aware, and the people who worked at Fader made me also aware that I was like making a lot of mistakes. Like I feel like it was like literally like year two on the job that I was like, oh, I finally understand like it's and it's or whatever. Like,
wow.
You know, like
really?
Like some of these like basic things were just like not things I had.
How much did you regress in college?
No. Well, no, I mean, I think like in high school, nobody gave a shit. And then in college, like it was all about big ideas. And I was like, also like doing art and building things. And like, it wasn't, nobody was correcting my grammar. Like that, there was no time for that. Like, you know, like the stakes were higher or something.
Right.
So,
too much swimming.
Yeah, so I had to like figure out some of those things. And I definitely did like, I don't know. There's like, yeah, they like. Matthew Schnipper and Sam Hockley Smith used to make fun of me all the time and be like, I don't know why you talk the way you talk, but you talk really crazy. But they were into it and they were like very helpful. And, you know, I think that I just wrote a ton. And now it was such a different internet. And to some extent now, like, I feel like people, you know, young people who are starting at the Fader or just contributing to the Fader, I think like wisely are really ambitious and know what the internet is now and kind of want to do ambitious things. And I'm kind of like, but where were you like when I had to, you know, like,
you haven't blogged
300 Wiz Khalifa videos. So like, call me later. Like,
yeah.
You know,
well, yeah. So where do you fall along the line of journalism school versus DJ Vlad is a journalist. You know, like, how do you when you want to hire someone, what kind of resume are you looking for?
I think at Fader, we're always just looking for smart people, you know, who, like, can prove in whatever way, and I think there's many ways to do it, that they're, like, invested in the culture and curious and have good ethics and, like, are a team player, you know, and kind of, like, down to, like, authentically be edited and receive feedback. I mean, I think, like, so much of how I learned was, like, being taken, you know, like, corrected. And then right. also, like, there was a, you know, the guy who's the deputy editor of Fader now, Duncan, was, like, also an intern at the same time as me. And knew, I mean, his grammar is a lot better than mine. But, it, like, I think our personalities are very complementary. And, like, we kind of, like, do a good job of sort of, like, switching roles where, like, I'll yell at him or he'll yell at me or whatever. And I think that we really kind of, like, taught each other, like, everything. So, and then that was, like, really good. So, from, like, I mean, everything from, like, how to write a really effective conclusion to, like, what a good thumbnail photo is to, like, how to hire a manicurist. Like, all of those things we have figured out together.
Yeah.
So, I think, like, I hope in sort of, like, that at Fader I can create an environment where people are taking care of each other like that. I mean, I think that's kind of how I think about it.
How important is dress when you hire someone?
It's not that important. I don't know. There's lots
of... If somebody showed up in, like, a suit.
I mean, that would be fine if they were cool. Like, I don't know. It's kind of like there's a lot of different ways to look cool. You know, I think of actually, there's a guy who's like a sort of senior guy at Fader now named Patrick, who's I hired as an intern. And I remember when he came in I was like hiring the interns at the time, but I had to kind of like tell my boss, like, okay, these are the interns I want to hire. And he was like, I don't know about that kid. That kid seemed nervous. And I was like, did you like maybe not like his outfit? Like, because he did. He kind of just looked like, you know, like maybe. But I was like, no, I swear to God, this kid is cool as fuck. And now it's just funny because I've known, you know, I've known him now for 5 years or whatever. And he's changed his image so many times or something, or like it's evolved so beautifully. So, I mean, something I said at Fader when I came back that I still say a lot. It's just like, you know, we're not a sorority.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do think there was kind of like an old idea, or, and I think like not just at Fader, but at lots of these sort of web publications or even at like old rap magazines that you're kind of
coffee
like,
shops. Sure.
And
yeah.
Coffee
yeah.
shops yeah. that you're like a crew and like right. that the, you just have to like be cool with the crew and that like, you know, I was like the work matters and we have to like, not just do good work within our own sort of value system, but also like we literally as a business have to compete on the internet right now, guys.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like a big thing that I came in screaming. But like, I think about it now and I'm like, in some ways we are kind of like a sorority, like in good ways.
There's like boys there.
Yeah. A fraternity.
Right, it's a service frat.
Some of my favorite like Fader stories include our mutual friend Miles told me that and I mean he works at Fader.
Uh-oh.
But yeah, he told me that French Montana came over to do a playback at the offices and he changed his outfit twice in the middle of one album playback, which is like an hour.
I was not there.
But that's amazing.
That's totally true. There's a really famous listening story with Khalid that he like held the like he just like spoke to the room for like an hour, which was also one I was not there for. I mean, I feel like one time Mike Will has been up to our office many times for the course of like my time there, and I feel like but one time he brought this crazy pink liquor that I don't even know what it was and like he was drinking it, somebody else was drinking. I don't know, it just got like I don't know. It was interesting. And we heard like music that like I feel like was definitely never released. Like we were like so deep into like the songs that like didn't even get put on Miley Cyrus's free album. Like just like weird music that was like interesting, but it was just like what are we doing right now?
Have you ever invited rappers over to your house like we have?
What's the guy, the 3-6 Mafia guy was supposed to come to my house to grill?
Oh, DJ Paul. Yeah.
Yeah. And I actually bought a grill for that reason. And it was like this whole thing where we were like, you know, okay, what's something creative we can do with DJ Paul? He has a barbecue, so let's barbecue with DJ Paul. And then it was like, they were like, well, do you have a test kitchen? I was like, no, I don't have a test kitchen. You know, they were like, well, we can get a hotel. I was like, I can't get a hotel. So right. I was like, we can do it at my house. And then I don't remember what happened. I think he was like, he had been at a show or something or traveling and was like in like not in the drunk tank, but like he was like in custody, but only for a second. And they were very apologetic, I remember. And I was just like, but like, again, this is like my boyfriend who was like, Jesus, I went out and bought, I went to Home Depot for you yesterday, Naomi. And I was like, well, we'll have the grill.
Have you been grilling since?
We grilled yesterday. We grill all the time. It's a great grill. Yeah. So thank you to DJ Paul for that. But yeah, that was the only time. And I don't think I would consider it. I mean,
I love how a couple of years ago when 2 Chainz was going to drop his second album, Boats 2.
The cookbook.
The cookbook one. He and
Bon Appetit.
Bon Appetit got together and they were going to have a listening party at Bon Appetit with the most fantastic food ever, right?
It didn't happen?
Didn't happen because he got arrested.
In Oklahoma.
Yeah, in Oklahoma, and he wouldn't get off the tour bus.
Was it at the airport?
No.
Oh, was it at that stop that everybody gets stopped at, the Willie Nelson corridor or whatever?
Is it really?
There's a place, I'm probably just at a lot. I think it's in Texas. There's like one traffic stop that like every musician has been stopped at.
Well, is that they where should avoid that.
Yeah. One time, you know, the worst concert I ever went to, I went to Eugene, Oregon to see Lil Wayne in the Carter II era or whatever.
No.
And I was really excited. And we paid, I think, $85 for tickets. I remember this so vividly because it was like all my money at the time. And then he just didn't show up. And it was like, because he was like arrested in Nevada or something on the way. And Sean Kingston played instead. And I just was like so mad. And
wait, you didn't want to hear Beautiful Girls?
I love that song. I feel like I literally own that song on a vinyl single. Like I was
Vinyl single.
Do you have a record player?
Now I sold all my records, but in Portland I used to buy like a lot of like rap singles on vinyl.
That is so Portland.
it's so Brooklyn. It's so Brooklyn. Athens. Yeah. It's so Portland.
They cost like 70. You know, it wasn't like a lot of money. It was like I don't know. Yeah, there was really good record shops in Portland. But yeah, when I left Portland, I was like, I'm done with this. And I am still done with it. When I get vinyl, like sometimes people send me vinyl to the office, like good vinyl, like, and it always feels like, oh, like somebody's really made an effort to like ship this from London. And I'm just like, I'm literally like, I got to give it away.
Right.
I don't
You're like,
want
I am just a cloud girl. Like,
yeah,
I don't need, you cleansed yourself of all your vinyl. You don't need any physical stuff except for a grill.
Except for, I am happy that we have the grill. I'm like not attached to having a music collection at all. Cause I just like give up. I give up. Like I feel like I buy albums on iTunes sometimes and then they just like disappear from your phone. Like I don't know.
I miss MP3s. I miss MP3 culture.
But maybe this is all like changing by the minute, but the platform exclusivity, whatever, I think has like, I feel like there are a lot of teens who are learning to download MP3s for the first time right now, which I think is really fascinating.
Yeah, but there's also a lot of teens who are like buying vinyl.
Well,
and like, you know, watching Juno
or
and
like
being like
subscribing to Tidal or whatever. Yeah.
Well, no, I don't have
love it.
There are no teens who are doing that.
I've never joined Spotify or Tidal or Beats One or any of those. I just have my MP3 collection on my iTunes.
But you also use YouTube like crazy.
For newer stuff.
Yeah.
Unless like, you know, I do download some stuff from like iTunes.
And SoundCloud
Yeah. But for all my mixtape stuff, like all the stuff that I really cherish from like, and even albums that I bought back in the 90s, like you can't find all that stuff now on every
service.
It's all
gone.
Yeah, pocket full of mid.
Literally is the only place you can find it is on DatPiff on like, and DatPiff feels like so endangered right now.
Sure.
Like it's something they redesigned. It just feels like it's all going to vaporize.
Do you still use the DatPiff player?
I do.
Or the app or whatever?
Use it when I work out at the gym.
No way. Do you use My Mixtapes app?
Is that the live mixtapes one?
No, it's like some other one that I'm like, what is this third party? What is this Jessica Simpson of mixtape? But people say it's good.
Yeah.
I prefer live mixtapes. That's my preferred.
Really? You're just like Future.
Yeah, well, I think that's probably why.
It's
it was
Georgia
like
Pride.
It was Future's platform for all those years.
Is there any artist that you feel you lay claim to?
Like that you were like super early on.
Or you rooted for like so much and they really made it.
I mean, there's a couple people that I feel like I've been a good cheerleader for. I would never lay claim to anybody. I mean, I was
who
like,
did you make?
It's the real.
I was a very early and enthusiastic Future supporter. Like, I think that's true. And to some extent, that, like, now I'm like, I don't have a voice or skin in this game. I mean, I'm like super excited about what he's doing still, but it feels like there was like a point where people got so crazy that I was like, I want no part of this. Like,
you're not
hysteria.
Part of the Future Hive?
No, I mean, I'm 100% a part of the Future Hive. I just like, I felt like there was a time where my cheerleading didn't feel very necessary anymore because there was plenty of people to pick up that mantle.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I was like obsessed. Like, Streets Calling, I think, is like really my. Is like one of my favorite albums of all time. So I feel like starting then I was like pretty crazy. And we sort of snuck Future onto the cover of the Fader around that time because there was another cover that fell through. And I was kind of like, guys, like, now is the moment.
What was the other cover?
And I think when we look back, we're really psyched. It was A$AP Rocky. Oh. I think people know that story. Maybe. I don't know. So I don't know. And then I think like, I feel like I was a big supporter. I've been like a good sort of blog cheerleader for a lot of acts out of the Bay Area, sort of the HBK gang universe, and like now Kamaya, Kehlani. Like, I don't know, those are people I feel like that I've kind of followed for a while. And then I actually think like I wonder what he would say, but I feel that like when I think about somebody who I've covered for what seems to me like their whole career, and like I've really enjoyed sort of like being a historian in some ways of what they do, I think a lot about Mike Will because just like all that he has done, which is so much.
He made it. Yeah.
I not to mention a competitor, but it was just an amazing anecdote. Did you read the New Yorker piece on Mike Will?
Yeah, it's not. Yes, I read it.
Okay.
Of course.
I felt like the whole story was made when the writer went back to Atlanta and Mike Will had left his car. He spends half his time in Atlanta and half in L.A. And he came back to Atlanta. The writer met him there. And the car that he had customized to have, like it was like Pimp My Ride or something, to have this refrigerator put in the back of his car with organic juices. All the organic juices had fermented in the time that he hadn't been there. And so he had to, like, lower it down through all the windows on the highway
and air the shit out
at 85 miles per hour or whatever on the
I thought that story had like was nice for like the backstory that I had about him and his sisters and his dad. I thought was like really interesting, but otherwise I thought
but
that
fermented
story was
juices
like, yeah, so gnarly.
At least it's not milk.
I think he lives in LA most of the time.
Oh yeah,
I think so. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I think so. I don't know. I thought though there was a lot. That story I thought was a good example because I've read most that writer does a lot of music profiles and stuff about sort of like how songs happen, and like I was happy that he wrote that story because he does stuff about super producers and pop producers, and I was always like, why? Like, it's crazy to me that he had never done like sort of any rap producer, because like rap, we make hits too.
Yeah.
I thought there was like a lot of like things that maybe he thought were interesting, like, oh, like here's an exchange in the studio. This is such a cool scene. And I was like, this is like not a cool scene. Like, you know, like this literally, this is like just all that happens all the time. And like, it's not that interesting.
My favorite little piece of a recent Fader story was the Ray Shremmerd one, that those guys live in Mac Miller's old house where we've been.
Oh, well, they don't live there anymore.
Oh, they used to live
there. I
wish
I had been there. I feel like that house is in Studio City, and I was in Studio City like last year in the summer and like drinking a lemonade and saw Ray Shremmerd like drive by in like a ridiculously big truck and was like, here I am at the center of it all. Like, here they are. But yeah, no, to me, that was like, I feel like when I found out that detail, I think like maybe Mac Miller told me or something a while ago. And I was like so excited. I told like everybody I knew. I was like, here's like some hot detail.
Gas.
Yeah.
Some real estate news.
Yeah, like literally.
You're like a 1920s reporter. Yeah. Like, here's a tip.
Yeah.
So yeah, I had to get that into the story, that really important detail.
I feel like for the Fader, like, you guys are so good at getting emerging talent. How easy is it to get like established acts on the cover or coverage within the Fader?
I think it's like a crapshoot. Like, it really depends, you know, like what they, to some extent, I mean, I think like it's very true in 2016, but probably has always been true. It's kind of like these, you know, we don't have any leverage against a big talent like that. Like that's the bottom line. That's the real truth. Like, I don't have any money to really do anything. So I'm just kind of like, if you have to want to be a Fader. And I think all we do provide is kind of like, we do have a strong brand with strong karma. And I don't think there are a lot of people who kind of do what we do. I do think the quality of our stories is quite high. The quality of our photos as high, but you kind of have to like want to play ball. And like that part of the equation is like not up to me, which can be very frustrating sometimes when I really just want to make something happen. But yeah, I mean, I think part of the fader was sort of just like actually circumventing the tension or the discomfort of that whole process by only working with emerging talent, which I think in a lot of ways is really smart because stories that people haven't done before are the most interesting ones and the most valuable for your company. But I do think like I've in my time, you know, over the last couple of years, like really tried to lean into those stories that are a bit harder to negotiate and a little harder to get, where it might mean that we have to kind of do things in a different way. Like, you know, there's sort of the classic fader model for stories. Like we just show up at your house with like some chill people, like a chill photographer and a chill writer. And we kind of just all hang out for 3 days. And like, then we write like a really intimate story. And like, that can't always happen. You know, like sometimes something has to happen in a day or I don't know. There's like weird circumstances and not without kind of like diluting what fader is, which is something I don't want to do. And while sort of fighting very hard for what I perceive as like the core needs of us to tell a good story, I have tried to be flexible and accommodate, you know, and I think like we've gotten ourselves into some weird situations, like a Rihanna cover story with no Rihanna quotes.
But right. You know what? And Mary wrote that story, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was fantastic.
I thought it was a great story.
I thought it was excellent. Too. And I think she's a great, right? Like, it was great because she was up to the challenge.
Yeah.
And the photos were really, you know, I think that, like, there was a lot of meaningful participation from Rihanna in that story. And obviously the whole project was, like, worth doing. But it was a challenge. Like, it felt like we were, like, doing, like a Matrix backflip to try to figure out how to do it without being, like, just pathetic. So,
Do you know if Rihanna actually ended up reading the piece or no?
I think so somebody did. Somebody who writes on her Instagram did, because in the Instagram comment, she like wrote out Mary's name. So somebody was like, at least, you know.
Yeah,
cognizant. They got to the byline.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think often like, you never really know. I remember like when we did a 2 Chainz cover back in the day, I remember like dropping the piece and then just like within 2 minutes, one of his people calling with like a really specific complaint about something small. And that was like, I don't even remember what it was, but I remember being like, no, seriously, like read the piece and you'll realize that this is not the case. Like, just take a deep breath and finish reading it. And some like, so yeah.
They were like, call the printers. It's all.
Yeah. It's over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think in your tenure there, you've done a really amazing job in balancing the newer acts and the more established acts. And I think that the fact that the fader brand is not tarnished with a Drake on the cover or a Rihanna cover certainly is a testament to you and the brand. And I think that we can both agree that the veteran artist you need to get on the cover
is
Bubba Sparks.
Yes.
I'm sold. Let's do it.
Yeah, can't go anywhere without people who's talking to Naomi about Bubba Sparks.
And Modest Yahoo.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for coming over.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh my God. So Jewish.
Thanks everyone for listening to this week's episode of A Waste of Time with The Real Jeff. If people are looking for 5, 6, 7 places for more information on It's The Real, where can they go?
You can talk to our doormen. You can talk to our neighbors. You can also talk to our mom, or you can go to iTunes or go to soundcloud.com/
A Waste of Time.
You can also go to fullscreen.com/ It's The Real. You can check all of our episodes out for your viewing pleasure.
Time up.
Twitter, It's The Real.
Time up.
Instagram, It's The Real.
Time up.
Facebook, It's The Real.
Time up.
Also, we are on Snapchat.
What's that?
It's The Real, and It's The Real Eric.
This podcast is going to remain stagnant. It's never going to grow if the two of us are the only people talking about it. So, please, go tell a friend, and then have that friend go tell another friend, and tell family, and tell strangers. Just talk about
A Waste of Time.
It's The Real.
Right, we want our fan group to be a Ponzi scheme. We want to pull out the card and the whole thing fall down.
Do you have a friend to tell about this podcast?
This is not a friend. This is a listener. I want to tell Christian Vitt, C-R-I-S-T-I-A-N, Vitt, V-I-T-T, on Instagram. He enjoyed the Zaytoven podcast, and I feel like he would enjoy hearing his name weirdly being talked about right now. If you're Christian Vitt, look into the stereo. We're talking to you. Button your shirt.
I would like to shout out a friend of ours and a listener, Amir Abbasi, also known on the internet, has blamed the label.
Wow.
Just like it sounds, spelled out, blame the label.
Christian Vitt.
Amir is just one of the most wonderful people online and in real life. He has a great musical history with Rockefeller, having managed Freeway. He's working for All Depp Digital out in Los Angeles right now with Russell Simmons. If you're not following him on Twitter, you are missing out because he gives out gems for free. It's really surprising to me that he hasn't, like, put all these things into a book and sold them, but you know what? He's the type of person to give out advice just because he cares about this business and cares about people, and he's just a very caring person and cares enough to tune into this podcast every week. So shout out to Amir.
He also has a very full beard.
And he has a full beard. Shout out to Amir. Shout out to everyone who's listening. Go tell everyone about it. Jeff, do you want to do this again next week?
Not for real, for real.
Not for real, for real.